This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're watching Live Bet Christmas on VSiN.
Day, Jacory Kroski freaking Merritt. My goodness,
wow.
While we're in the break, a 72-yard tug for your boy, Washington, now narrowing the gap with the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas up 24-17, 9.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. How about that, Andy Gresh? My goodness.
Yeah, that was that's a home run ball right there. If you're Washington, and we were wondering, would they actually put a real touchdown on the board? And not only have they done that, Jacory Kroski Merritt, like you mentioned, he gets seven carries, 82 yards, two touchdowns. That's a pretty nice day for old JCM. And my Pickens Lamb bet is circling the drain right now. I know there's only it's 9:17 to go, or the clock is rolling towards 9 minutes in the third quarter, and Dallas is only up seven. So you'd think they got to start slinging the pill all over the lot a little bit and maybe getting those guys involved more. But, I mean, Stormy, I think the big story out of this game is Washington has a pulse. Mm-hmm. Like, we were trying to figure – you and I were talking about the total, and then, you know, what's the side going to look like? And it was what Cowboys got up to. I think it was, 8.5, 9.5, whatever. And then there you go, 9.5 as to what it closed at. And we wondered, would Washington, you know, hold up their end of the bargain if you were, say, going to take the over in this game? They sure, 17 points is more than I thought Washington was going to score.
No doubt about it. And that's why our live total, we closed around 50.5, is at 60.5 right now. 24-17, again, where we're currently sitting. But yeah, on pace for another one of those overs. And we talked about Dallas being the best over team in the NFL, 11-4 to the over coming into this week. And Washington had been giving up a lot of points game after game, even at home, but could their offense do anything? And I think they've asked Josh Johnson to do just enough, right? 8-12 so far to start the game, 128 yards. He's taken just one sack. And we wondered, given Dallas's shortcomings and issues that they've had on defense throughout the course of the year, would they be able to take advantage? I didn't think they could. So for them to have 17 points up like this, Jacory Kroski Merritt, if you played the 2+ touchdowns on him, cash it, looking good after the Chris Rodriguez not being available spot with the illness in this one, good on you, because they are playing really, really well. 7.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Now the question for me is, can Dallas get over that team total that we discussed at the beginning of the day at 30.5?
No, that's a great question. I think they will. It feels like they should go over 30.5. You get a touchdown with an extra point and you're okay. You're right, Stormy, on the live line. I've been looking. It's jumping now. It's like 61.5, 62.5. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, it gets to 62.5. I think I jump on that under, because I feel like there's probably going to be two, even with two more touchdowns and a field goal, mathematically you're still okay if you're getting that maybe at like 62.5. But yeah, so will Dallas ultimately tighten up the run? We know that they've had some losses along that defensive line. And plus, it's Dallas. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get consistently from them. But if that live total gets to 62.5, I'm feeling an under live play right there.
You know, that's a great point, especially because, like, let's say, are we really supposed to believe what we've seen from Washington right now is real? Because they've had a couple really, really big plays. How sustainable is that going to be throughout the course of an entire game? I think that's a really smart angle by you as we go here. Also keeping tabs on OKC and San Antonio in the NBA, where things sit right now. The Thunder up 32-27. They closed a 10.5-point favorite, and that is where they sit live right now as well. Live total sitting 253.5. Still to come throughout the course of the day, we're going to have the Lions and Vikings go head-to-head. Detroit, a 7.5-point road favorite in that spot. The nightcap in the NFL, the Denver Broncos laying 13.5 in Kansas City, taking on the Chiefs. Low total, big spread in that one, although the total has taken a tick up from 37.5 to 38.5. And then we got two games coming up on Saturday. And I really do want to talk to you about this Ravens-Packers game here for a moment. Green Bay, 3.5-point home favorites in this spot, total 40.5. But we see the report come out from the Baltimore Sun yesterday talking about, could there be a rift of sorts between starting quarterback Lamar Jackson and head coach John Harbaugh? And a lot of the things coming out from the report are from sources cited in the building, they're anonymous sources, that Lamar Jackson has fallen asleep in meetings. If he's critiqued, he becomes withdrawn, that the team changes rules to accommodate him. He's staying up late playing video games to the point they've adjusted practices to the afternoon. One person called him an overgrown kid in an adult's body and, quote, it's clear that Coach Harbaugh has become tired of Jackson, even though he builds him up after every game. He has to, or Jackson will go into his own self-exile. And I know that doesn't have any immediate betting implications on this game, and we have questions about the back. We'll talk about his health and our thoughts on that spread in a moment. But what do you make of this report that's come out? And then, of course, John Harbaugh trying to defuse the situation publicly as well.
Yeah, Harbaugh is unfortunately in a lose-lose situation because he has already let the cat out of the bag when it comes to how Lamar can operate. So I go back to teams that I've been around. It took 15 years for Tom Brady to get sick of Bill Belichick to where he said, give me some special treatment. And then they bring his massage boy in and it all blows up. Right. So I think this is one where, yeah, you're the quarterback, but you're one of 53. You have to walk amongst them. Forget walking alone. Right. You need to be the guy that leads the football team. And therefore you should be the one who would want to do things the way everyone else does them in terms of how they comport themselves, actions in meetings, things like that. Quite honestly, I just think Lamar Jackson at this point, Stormy, I could see John Harbaugh turning on him because he's not worth the trouble anymore. I mean, think of the way he plays. He gets hurt every year. If you're John Harbaugh, he's like, yeah, coaching a football team where I can't count on my quarterback. Now, this other stuff feels like things that Harbaugh should have nipped in the bud and he didn't because he was afraid to, and he can't operate that way. But you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Lamar has the control here, and will the organization go with a quarterback who has a unique style who might be aging out playing that way? Or do they look at it and say, nah, the head coach has been here a long time anyway. We need to shake it up.
Yeah. And he's a two-time MVP, but as a team, what do you have to show for it? And I think that's another layer of this all too.
Stormy, New England played Baltimore last week. The group that I was with, when Lamar went out of the game, the very first thing someone said was typical. It's almost like you expect Lamar to break every year at some point, right? And not mentally break. I'm talking about ankle sprain, elbow, back, shoulder, da-da-da. He's got a ton of them. At what point does Baltimore look at it and say, I don't know if this style quarterback can last much longer? You know, do you want Lamar to 2031 where you're still messing around with all these injuries of him being in and out of the lineup? So it's tough. But I do think, Stormy, there is, you know, let's throw Tomlin of Pittsburgh into this as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like there is almost a referendum from fans where it becomes, he's been here too long. And it's just a flippant state. Yeah, I'm sick of seeing Tomlin's face, you know, that kind of thing. Guy's a good football coach. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I'd say the same thing in Baltimore. You have a good football coach down there, as evidenced by some of the people who coached last year in Vegas and New England. Those people are hard to find.
Yeah, that's one of those things where I understand, like, the overarching concept of a message can get stale, but also you say he's a great football coach. If he's fired, who's not snapping him up in a second, right? Like, that is the type of a coach that's not going to be out of the job long.
Can you imagine if John Harbaugh comes available and you're the New York Football Giants, and in theory you're looking for someone who, you know, he's going to have rails up, even though this Lamar thing seems to have gotten outside the rails. He's got rails up, a clear message would be able to deal with, I think, the media in New York City. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know people get down on these guys who've been there for a long time because everyone looks at it and says, well, how many Super Bowls have they won? Well, a guy with six of them tried to get a job a couple of years ago, and it didn't mean a hill of beans to people how many rings he had on his fingers. So, you know, I think that's a big narrative that's overrated. Your coach has a winning season every year in Pittsburgh. Stop complaining. You're way better than the rest of the NFL right now. All you Yinzers, take a breath.
That said, we are going to talk about some coaches who are and maybe should be on the hot seat here in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But real quickly, before we hit the break, got about 90 seconds left here. As far as Green Bay and Baltimore goes on Saturday, that 3.5-point spread, total 40.5, was there anything that interested you or intrigued you in this game?
No. In fact, Stormy, I'm going to out myself in a very bad way.
Oh, no.
So another show that I do on YouTube with my buddy Jason Anik. He's the twin brother, John Anik, UFC. My best bet this week was Pittsburgh plus 3.5. Guess what this dodo brain forgot to do? Look and see when Baltimore played. I thought they were on Sunday. So if Baltimore loses, Pittsburgh can play, Bucky from Woodland Hills if they want to at quarterback because they're sewn up. So I made a critical wagering mistake, not even knowing I was all over Pittsburgh minus the 3.5 against Cleveland, because I think if everybody's playing straight up, Cleveland's going to get rolled.
Yeah.
Well, Baltimore might screw that up for me because I didn't know they were on Saturday. So,
you know what, though? That's a great point in general, and maybe something we could talk about on the other side of the break, is the implications of the games today and on Saturday and how that might affect what teams will do on Sunday. So, okay, you hear that music. That means I got to stop yapping. But we will hit on that and a whole lot more as we keep it rolling here on Live Bet Christmas. Thanks, everybody, for spending some of your holiday with us. Still so much more to come here this hour on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Watching Live Bet Christmas on VSiN.
Before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there. They don't just follow the market. They help shape it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own. But with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, and active across the NFL, NBA, MLB, and college hoops, the sharp plays delivers the edge serious bettors rely on. You get free daily reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights all straight to your inbox or X feed. And they've been backing it all up with those documented results since 2011. Public logs, transparent receipts. If you haven't checked them out yet, head over to sharpplays.com. Trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Again, stay ahead of the line when you visit sharpplays.com. Stormy Bonantoni, Andy Gresh with you back here on Live Bet Christmas. Rocking around the Christmas tree with some great action on deck. And we've already got one result in the books with the Cavs and Knicks. New York gets that win 126-124, so they win but don't cover the 4.5. A massive rally for them ultimately to get that done. We are in action in OKC, where the Spurs have now pulled ahead up 41-36 as we enter the second quarter there. So that's one we're going to have to keep tabs on because, Andy, as we talked about earlier, San Antonio has gotten the better of this OKC team in both of their meetings so far just the last couple weeks.
It's pretty amazing how they have been the thorn in the OKC side. And, you know, having followed a Celtics team a couple years ago who got off to one of those unbelievable starts like OKC did, it really stands out when you find the one team where you're like, oh, why can't they solve this riddle? Mm-hmm. And I know that you and I, whether it's through physicality, length, there's a lot that goes into why San Antonio has been able to really not be swallowed up by what I guess I would call Thunder culture, right? Like they play the game a certain way. They play defense, which I know is rare in the NBA. But the Spurs, even though there's been a head coaching change, that organization still kind of stands for something. I hope that Wemby gets it going. De'Aaron Fox is 13 points early on here, and Wemby has only scored 5 to this point. But still, I'm not completely down. But it's been De'Aaron Fox who's been really doing the early damage for San Antonio. For those of you who are following SGA, he is at, let me see here, SGA's got 9 points in 12 minutes early on. I think his, I think it was 30 plus for SGA was close to even or something like that. Might have been like minus 110, 115, something for him to go over 30, which you would think would happen on a day like today.
And a lot of game left, you know, all you need is to go on a little bit of a run for your Wemby prop. So just we'll see. We'll see if he can get hot here as we again.
Give me 3 threes, kid. Quarter. Come on.
Well, he hit that step back nice in the game on Tuesday the other day. So we'll see what he's able to do in this spot. Also in the NFL, the Washington Commanders driving right now, facing second and goal. And this has been a much closer game than any of us really anticipated coming in. Down 27-17, but knocking at the door right now to have another score in this one.
And I jumped in on the under 62.5. So now I'm counting as well. And I did not count on Washington maybe being able to put the ball into the end zone. Boy, thank God that Jaden Daniels wasn't in the game in terms of those of us that are on the under, because a wide receiver was running wide open on a slant route on that. And there you go. Netflix picked it up. Terry McLaurin was 3 steps in front of the defender. And all he had to do was hit him on the slant. And of course they go to the, hey, here's the cool guy, offensive coordinator. With
cut to Cliff Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury, dude. I'm cool. They take the photos of me in the big empty house with the giant waterfalls because, you know, I got all kinds of money and stuff like
you
gotta
that. You got to admit, the backyard through the open glass format, whatever that thing was, looking out to the outside, it looked nice. You got to admit, it was nice.
It did. I mean, the guy's made like $75 million coaching. I think he was in New England though, Stormy. He made like $1.295 on the practice squad and has become a multi-millionaire by being a really good football coach with some swag. Like, that's the thing too, is that you can understand why I'm surprised that Kingsbury hasn't gone back to college because, you know, he's got the drip that these youngs love, for crying out loud.
Gonna give Kirk Cousins a run for his money for the ultimate bag getter. Just like finding ways to just cash checks, just cash and checks, man.
That is a pretty good one. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought Washington missed the extra point. I didn't mean to freak out like that.
They had to settle for a field goal attempt. I don't know if I was on the air, if we were like split screen when that happened, but the way I actually just jolted in reaction was.
I did.
Lord.
I scared that crap out of you. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. Yeah, so Washington kicks a field goal, and it is now 27-20 Dallas. So the field goals are helping the under on the live line of 62.5. But
there we go.
Yeah, I feel like my other wide receiver bets are tanking on both Pickens and CD. Pickens got off to a hot start, Stormy, and then that was kind of it. They really haven't been able to get either one of those two guys involved on a consistent basis.
So you mentioned earlier Jaden Daniels being shut down for the year. We saw the Raiders put Brock Bowers on IR, Chiefs with Rashee Rice, Justin Fields, he's done for the year. There are a lot of these situations where, even though coming up this weekend, we know the players that are on the field, the coaches who are coaching, they're all still going to give their all. But organizationally, some decisions have been made that change the framework with how we look at these games and where some certain spreads are. And we have teams right now who, at the current number, have something to play for, but by the time we get to Sunday, might not. And you brought that up with a bet you placed on the Pittsburgh Steelers, thinking about the Ravens-Packers game that's coming up on Saturday, not realizing that wasn't a Sunday game. Another game on Saturday with Sunday implications is the Texans and Chargers. If Houston wins this game, the Colts are eliminated from the playoffs. And while Shane Steichen has said, regardless of the situation, they're still going to go ahead and start Phillip Rivers, didn't think it was fair to the rookie and Riley Leonard to make a change the day of, or the day before the game. But how does that impact how you might view that game early? How long will Phillip Rivers play in the game ultimately? If this gets away from them, what does it look like? And something else I was thinking about is maybe we could do a little bit of a two-part play here, where if you think hypothetically the Texans are going to win, then do you parlay that with the Jacksonville Jaguars tomorrow, or on Sunday, excuse me, or vice versa, where you think the Chargers are going to win, do you play the Colts plus the points? Could that be maybe an angle that we can cash in on teams that have something or might not to play for?
I love it that you came up with a better example than I did, because as you were working through that, I was thinking, would I actually bet the Ravens and the Browns as a combo or something like that?
Yeah.
And be like, that's right. But I love the Texans, Chargers, and the Jaguars, Colts, and all that. My gut feel for Indy, Stormy, is that they're going to ride it out and try to play. They're going to try to play it out. There's good juju. There's good vibes for them. Different ownership has taken over. So I think they're looking at things through a different lens when it comes to the Colts. So I actually don't believe a lot of these head coaches when they're rolling out their bull crap of who they're going to play going into a final week, or if somebody gets, you know, eliminated or knocked out or whatever. But I believe Shane Steichen. I think Indianapolis will play it kind of straight up. But, you know, if the Chargers win, they're in a must-play situation next week, because they're going to play the Broncos. You know, you mentioned there's the Jaguars kind of tied in there as well. The Jaguars have Tennessee next week. Holy Moses. So if they beat Indianapolis, I would think that next week it would lock in. You know, you brought up Houston in particular. They got Chargers, and then they're going to play the Colts. And I don't know where you're at. I don't trust Houston for anything. Yeah. I was scared of them earlier in the year, like thinking of it from a New England perspective where I am. Boy, would I want Houston coming in, I say, oh, yeah. Because that offense come playoff time, I think, will just shrink. And the defense will be good. So, say Houston could go give up 23 on the road and still very easily lose the game. And that's kind of what I see. I'm always health first in all these situations in terms of sitting these players down. But I think – I wonder if, you'd have to play it today. I mean, Broncos, Chargers – because both will play next week for a division. Will they both be – they're both going to be pretty motivated, I think, to be able to have that game actually mean something at the end of the year.
For sure. You think about
– I wish I had something better for you. I just think that, to your point, there will be a trickle-down in terms of, like, the Ravens lose, then the Steelers ain't playing anybody. I'm convinced of that. What they should do is play Rodgers for a week, only sit him for one and then play him. But, you know, they'll listen to him and let him go to Costa Rica and do ayahuasca.
I didn't realize that was going there, but I love it so much. Tomlin, by the way, just death taxes and getting over 500. It's insane. And I am in complete agreement with you on the Houston Texans.
I played against him in college. He was a wide receiver. Yeah, he was. Mike Tomlin was a wide receiver at William & Mary in the 90s while I was a fat, blubbering old lineman at URI.
You're watching Live Bet Christmas on VSiN.
Back here on Live Bet Christmas, Stormy Bonantoni, Andy Gresh with you. And boy, what a time of year it is to be a sports bettor. The all-new Boomer Sportsbook is bringing you the action as well. Football, hockey, basketball, everything you could ask for. Use the code VSiN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account. They're going to match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, with pro football going on, get -105 on all pro spreads every regular season game the rest of the way. Download the Boomer Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions do apply. Please bet responsibly. And we've got some bets in action here in the National Football League as the Washington Commanders are trying to creep up here on the Dallas Cowboys. Just a one-score game right now. Dallas up 27-20. And did Brandon Aubrey miss a field goal just now?
Not only did he miss one, he kicked it like it missed the net. And I think it might have went in the first row. Like it went.
Wow.
It was a shank drive right off the foot, and he missed it wide right. So now Washington gets their best starting field position of the day. They're at their own 48-yard line, so they're right around midfield. So Aubrey ends up missing a big kick. And so, Stormy, a little bit of what we were, you know, I did the field goal rant earlier about kickers are people, and Aubrey was one of those guys where it's like, oh, yeah, it's 60 yards, he'll nail it. And it's like, no, even for the really good ones, it's hard to hit kicks like that, especially outdoors.
Yeah.
And now Washington might be in business. I'm now starting to sweat that under 62 and a half a little bit now on the total.
And we were talking all day about, with these three games today, the favorite seems so obvious. They're all getting steamed up. The Dallas Cowboys, of course, among those. We closed 9.5 some places in favor of the Dallas Cowboys. Who was going to be the team that would mess it up? I did not have the Cowboys on my list. That was not the one. I was thinking if somebody were to mess it up, I could see maybe Detroit being that team. But even then, I still feel like they have all the advantages in the world in that matchup with the Minnesota Vikings. But Dallas, the fact that we're in a one-score game right now, Washington with, as you said, the best field position they've had all day, and being able to hit some big plays throughout the course of the day. They didn't have Chris Rodriguez. No problem. Jacory Kroski-Merritt has been awesome.
Yeah, JCM's been fantastic. And right now, a little injury issue along the O-line for Washington once again. Stormy, I know you broke that down a little bit earlier when the center went out. Now they lose one of their guards and trying to still, you know, be out there
and
running
Laramie
the ball.
Tunsil.
Well, there you go. And you know what, Stormy? This is a real indictment on that Cowboys defense, is it not?
Yeah.
That this team with the third string, maybe quarterback in there, and a whole bunch of other people that are dinged up. And Washington is in this game because Dallas can't stop the run. It's pretty gross.
All right, let's have a little fun here. Let's get away from the gross defense to actually something that might be
coaches.
Let's be more gross. This might be worse, actually. but we're going to do a little exercise here on this wonderful Christmas holiday. Which NFL coaches are going to get a visit from the Grinch here next month as the season wraps up? And you have a laundry list of head coaches.
I have no movies, right? I got no movies, but I got coaches who should be fired. There we go, Stormy. I have nothing from a cinematic nature, but it'll be cinematic whenever these guys are walking out and leaving their key card at the door. And the first one is Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't this feel fait accompli that they fired the GM into the sun a bunch of earlier this year? Mike McDaniel's been left around. He makes the change at quarterback, I think, to, hey, boss, look at what I can do with this guy we've already got in-house. And Stephen Ross says, I've seen enough, you little weirdo. We're shipping you out the door. Here's your check. Take your capri pants and get out of here. And they go get, and they just completely reboot the organization. As you can tell, Stormy, I have a little thing for, I love how we pumped up all these offensive guys, you know? Oh, he took a cab ride with Sean McVay. He's now an offensive genius. Let's hire him. Like, really, that's where I fit. These dudes who've never coached 53 guys on a roster before, and they're used to just dealing with 22 or 25. And then the guy like Mike McDaniel where, oh, you're hip, you're different, you're a little cool. Okay, fine. But you don't have the chops to sustain everything. And I know the roster's cratered on him, but his quarterback's gone backwards, and he's supposed to be a quarterback guru. So I'll just end it.
Yeah, and he has an impossible contract to try to get out of. So I don't know what that's going to look like for the future of Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins when all is said and done. But I find it hard to believe that he's still going to be there. But who's going to want to pick up any of that? What's the dead cap stuff look like for Miami after that as well? Which is why I was pretty surprised to see, I want to say it was either Ian Rappaport or Tom Pelissero, it was one of the NFL Network guys, who said there was a belief that Mike McDaniel could stay after this year. And that just wasn't really registering with me. I know for a time it seemed like he fixed Tua Tagovailoa, or at least made him into a playoff caliber quarterback. You could do enough smoke and mirrors to make it work offensively for a time. But I don't know. I don't see it. And I feel like the loss last week against the Cincinnati Bengals is probably enough to put the nail in the coffin and just say, hey, let's move off of this thing. But you got a long list. So yeah. Where else are we going next?
Well, I do. But let me add one more thing about Mike McDaniel. Okay, Stormy, if I were working in that, or if I were like advising Stephen Ross, I would say, hey, boss, this guy loses to a thermometer every year. What are we doing? And that would be the end of it, right? Because it really is true.
That record is brutal in sub 40 degree temps. It's pretty embarrassing, actually.
Guess who's coming to Gillette Stadium next week? The Miami Dolphins. They better put them in bubble wrap. It's going to be so cold up here. So I know it ain't going to happen, but Raheem Morris should be sent packing. What are they doing in Atlanta? They draft a quarterback number 8 overall after they went and spent the owner's money and didn't tell him on a $150 million quarterback that I guess they then decided they didn't want to play. So everybody rallied around. They tugged on the heartstrings of Arthur Blank. They bring in Raheem Morris, who he loves. And there's supposed to be so much talent on this roster, and it's so inconsistent. And Stormy, for me, when you have all that talent and you're inconsistent, that points to the coach and the guy driving the bus, quite honestly. Like, how many more years do we have to hear that Kyle Pitts is going to be the greatest tight end in all the world? And yet here he is. I put together a nice season, but he's not out there like, you know, beating out Kelsey and people like that. I don't know. I when I look at Atlanta, Raheem Morris is one. Here's another one. And if you completely disagree, please let me know. Why does Zach Taylor still have a job? Yep. Other than being a great capitulator, right? Because even when they were going through all their stuff with Hendrickson, this guy never took to the podium and said, I work for the cheapest dummies in sports. That's why we're jacking around with this guy right now. No, he was Mr. Capitulator. Oh, you know, it'll be okay. It'll work out. Da, da, da. And then here's Zach Taylor, another one of these guys, who apparently rode in an elevator and huffed the methane of Sean McVay, another alleged genius, who gets his quarterback killed every year. Why is Zach Taylor safe? I don't know. He's safe because they don't want to pay him the money. And he ain't going to complain that Mike Brown stinks. That's the way I see it.
But the thing that's tough about the Zach Taylor and the Bengals of it all is exactly what you mentioned, though, with ownership. Because... and quite frankly, their general manager, what are you investing in to make the team better? I understand that your quarterback wanted to pay your wide receivers. I get it. But what is more important to your quarterback? A guy who can catch, having two guys that can catch the ball efficiently, or having some guys in front of him that can protect him when he is your most valuable asset, and that year after year he's dealing with injuries? Why do we not just say, no, this is what's going to be best for you, and make it happen? And you fire Lou Anarumo on defense because you say that you're going to make all of these changes. And why is that side of the ball continued to suffer and you wouldn't pay your best and most productive piece? And I get that he's injured right now, as you mentioned, with Trey Hendrickson. But why are we not allocating our funds in the right places? Because I think as a head coach, that then makes your job that much harder.
Yeah. And again, if you're an alleged offensive genius, another one of these guys, you'd think you'd be able to shore up the protection with running backs or tight ends or find different ways to help. And it seems like they don't do that. Here's my last one. Every friend that I talk to that I have in Cleveland, all four of them, they're like, oh, Kevin Stefanski's not the problem. Good. You know what? Thank you from the rest of the AFC. Hopefully you all think Kevin Stefanski is not the problem and that you keep, you know, numbers Magoo from, what are they going to do? Bring in Stormy, bring in a guy from hockey this time, I think. Instead of a baseball guy like Dee Podesta, let's go get somebody hockey related and bring them in to try to, you know, reset this organization. I know Kevin Stefanski's won some coach of the years, but get out of here with this guy. He's a part of the problem too.
It is funny how quickly, though, these guys who win coach of the year get axed. I mean, look at Brian Daboll, coach of the year number one. Look at how that turned out. Kevin Stefanski, you get coach of the year because Joe Flacco leads you to the play. Oh, what are we doing? But yeah, it is an ugly situation out there in Cleveland. That is for sure. This show has gone by in a flash. We have one segment to go, holding it down here on Live Bet Christmas. Stay with us.
watching Live Bet Christmas on VSiN.
We just reached the half out there in OKC. San Antonio up 9. Look at them, especially considering they closed a double-digit underdog in this game. We know they won the two matchups prior over the last week or so, but now to be in position once again in the top spot against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Sometimes a team just has your number, and the San Antonio Spurs seem to be that right now. Stormy Bonantoni, Andy Gresh with you back here on Live Bet Sunday. Okay, how's Wemby doing? I know you've been tracking your prop as we go. Are we inching
9
toward the finish? Okay.
I'm on track. I need a rogue three-pointer is what I need to sort of, you know, throw the number off. You and I were just saying in the off-air show, 69-60. That's a lot of points for an Oklahoma City game, especially in the first half. I mean, you would De'Aaron Fox is leading the way with 21. Wemby's got 9. Castle's got 13 for San Antonio. But you're right. There's just, you know what it is too, Stormy? I really do believe this. I think in the NBA, teams can get intimidated. They can outthink themselves. And I think San Antonio is just one of those teams where, nope, we're not going to outthink ourselves. We're not going to spook ourselves in any certain way. Going to Oklahoma City against this team who's done this, that, and the other this year, very calm about the whole thing. It's as if the how should I say this? Like the legend of OKC, right? The whole aura of them. Just the San Antonio's unaffected by that. And I can understand that given the way they run their organization over the years.
If you do think that the Thunder can come back here, and again, we are at the halftime break, 9-point game right now, Thunder trailing. They're a 1.5-point favorite live the rest of the way, -125 on the money line. So if you think they can come back, those are your prices. If you view this as a buy low on a team that closed a 10.5-point favorite, do what you will with it. I'm already sweating out the 8.5, and I don't love it right now with what I'm seeing from San Antonio. I thought that the 8.5 yesterday was going to be kind of one of those buy low spots after this game just last week on the neutral was 11.5. And so here we are, not loving what I'm seeing right now. But I did want to real quickly just hit on this because last segment we were talking about these coaches on the hot seat and who's the Grinch going to visit next month when all is said and done. But there are some head coaches that are doing a freaking phenomenal job this year. And when it comes to the coach of the year market, Mike Vrabel has been on top of this thing, rightfully so, for a while. He's a -110 odds on number right now. But this year, there's a lot of candidates for this award. And I'm curious your thoughts on who could really contend for this thing when all is said and done. Could voters get interesting and maybe not go Vrabel?
Yeah, I wondered. So, Stormy, taking a look at that graphic, right? Team leading the AFC East, team that is the number one seed in the NFC, San Francisco, the team that could be the number one team in the NFC when it's all said and done. Ben Johnson, new coach, is, you know, breaking both Johnson and Cohen are going to break the glass ceiling in their respective cities, but it's division, could win the division. So it does make me wonder, like, say San Francisco ends up finding their way to the number one seed. Do all of a sudden people go, wow, that Kyle Shanahan's done a heck of a job. He's been the NFC equivalent of Vrabel. We could just as easily give it to him because they came from behind and stole the number one seed. So while I do think it is Vrabel, I am leaving Stormy for both the NFL Coach of the Year and the MVP a little bit of wiggle room for some of the craziness at the end of the year, because I do think for some people, they will say, where are they in the standings? And if the Bills steal the division from the Patriots, not only might it knock Vrabel out of the top spot when it comes to Coach of the Year, maybe Josh Allen ends up making a little late push at +2,000 the other day for MVP.
Real quickly, Aubrey does get some redemption here in the kicking game. Nailed a 51-yarder a moment ago to pull ahead in that lead just a little bit more. But what you mentioned, 30-20 where our score is. You mentioned Matthew Stafford and MVP and Josh Allen. 30-1 on Allen. So you think that could be worth a little bit of a sprinkle right now? Stafford all the way out to -360, but 30-1 on Josh right now?
I mean, think about it. Could you give Josh Allen the MVP this year, Stormy? Like, has he played well enough that if, even though the odds say what they say, if Josh Allen won it, would you look at it and say, oh, that guy never should have been around this? He's one of those guys like Tom Brady where you could give it to him every year. That's why, for me, I wonder if Buffalo steals the division and Josh Allen goes, hey, I'm Superman once again, and opens it up and just takes over. I don't know. You know as well as I do that there's preconceived notions that a lot of these voters have, but I also think they react in the moment very late in the voting process.
And I would say that's the reason, right? Because in terms of, and I know most valuable player typically is like, who's the best quarterback in the league this year and all the stats that go along with it. But in terms of value to his team, he has been enormous. He has been the offense. Mm-hmm. It's him and James Cook. Like, what else have you really had to offer? He has had to put the team on his back consistently in order for them to win games. So I understand the rationale completely. As somebody with a Matthew Stafford ticket in pocket, I kind of hope that it stays the way that it is right now. Last couple minutes here. We obviously have a lot of action still to come. We've got Lions-Vikings coming up here in just a little bit. To the nightcap later on in the AFC West, a huge spread when it comes to the Chiefs and Broncos going head-to-head, but still like full slate of action in the weekend. We got two games on Saturday, bunch of stuff coming up on Sunday. What do you have in the account going into the rest of the day?
Yeah, I'm all over Denver. I got them at -12.5. I just think Kansas City is going to fall apart. I know I mentioned earlier that I think Denver would be good up to -16. I just think the Chiefs, there's nothing left. And what is the motivation? Like, that's the other thing for Kansas City, right? So you went from maybe playing Stormy the best game on Netflix, right, on a special Christmas day, to now having to work on Christmas and a bunch of your coworkers are staying home. Or, I'm sorry, a bunch of your coworkers are home if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. But give me, I like Denver -13.5. I will tell you this, and I didn't mention it. I am on the Chargers -1.5 tomorrow. Okay. I'm thinking of going back. I mean, -125 is not a lot on the money line to kind of cover my tail because I always worry about that offensive line. Stormy, you brought it up earlier. Chargers are one of those teams that deal with a bunch of injuries. They got some old linemen that are out. But I do have faith that, you know, this is one of those where who's got more skin in the game? And I think the Chargers show up more motivated, more ready to go. For Houston, you're not really improving your position very much if you win. And I'm not saying they're not looking to win. But I think for the Chargers, there's that extra little oomph of, we win this one, we know we're going to get a heavyweight fight against Denver next week. And I think the Chargers want to sign up for that.
Yeah, and you want to be peaking at the right time, too, playing your absolute best game going into that. I have a couple teasers that I'm sweating out here. So hopefully, we could be in good shape here for my Cowboys -2.5 leg, at least to get there. But I paired that with the Detroit Lions, bringing them down from the 7.5 to a 6.5. From a 7.5 to 1.5 against the Minnesota Vikings. It's like, just win, baby. Can you win by two?
Love that.
In a situation where you're taking on a super injured Vikings team, right? Like, it feels like that's the way things should go. I like Detroit in this spot. Run the football, you know, utilize your guys, let Jahmyr Gibbs cook and David Montgomery. And then I also have the Lions paired up with the Broncos in a teaser. So I feel like you should like that leg too, considering you like the alts on Denver that we're bringing. And I know I know it's not an ideal number at the 7.5 is what I brought it down to. I thought about doing the 6.5 point teaser and making it the flat 7, but the level of confidence I have in Denver to just do work against this Kansas City Chiefs team that is rushy, right? Everybody's on injured reserve. Like, no, who's playing in this game? What's the motivation outside of Travis Kelce? I don't know.
One of my former college teammates, Darren Rizzi, is the special teams coach out in Denver. And I remember talking to him at the beginning of the year, and he was like, we might have something here. I was like, when will you know? He's like, probably a couple weeks in. And then I texted him a little bit later on. He was like, yeah, we kind of got something here. By the way, I got something on taking that live under at 62.5, Stormy. We're at 2:35 to go. Dallas has the football, and it's a 30-20 game. So I'm glad I jumped on the 62.5 right now. The live total is at 56.5. But yeah, it's not looking good that there's going to be points late in this game. And at least it makes up for my other prop that I should just flush down the toilet, which was those two wide receivers. That's what I get. That's what I get as a largo, Stormy, for wagering on wide receivers.
You want to know what else? What were the team totals for the Dallas Cowboys we talked about? It was available at 29.5 and 30.5. We're sitting right there on the freaking 30. So we always talk about this. Numbers matter. And that was one that really mattered depending on which number you took. Awesome show today. Really appreciate you doing this with me on a holiday, Andy. This was a blast.
Oh, this? Are you kidding me? I would anytime you're in need of someone to sit beside you far away, I'm here.
Thank you to our whole crew, Andy Gresh, our producer, Wyatt Tomchek, Matt, Andres, Sean, Michelle, John, Andre. You guys are tops. We love you. Merry Christmas, everybody.